WRKC is proud to present the fourth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King Students. We now present our 39th episode, The Old and the New.
Doo-dee-bop-bop-dee-doo-bop-bop-doo-bop-ba-doo-bow. Ah, good evening, sir. Would you like to buy? You? What the hell are you doing here?
That the way you talk to old friends, Murray.
Oh, no. We ain't friends by any means, bub. In fact, I'd like to forget as much about you as I possibly can. What are you doing here?
Oh, I was just in the neighborhood and thought I'd drop in.
The likes of you aren't welcome here. I am going to have to ask you to leave. Good day, sir.
Murray, you're hurting my feelings. I came all this way to see you. And this is my welcome?
Get out! Or I'll call the police!
Fine. If you want to be so curt about it, I'll get to the point. You remember that package I asked you to hold on to?
Yes. What about it?
Well, I've come to collect my due. You still have it, don't you?
I'm sorry, sir, but the shop is closed for the evening. Good day to you.
Not so fast. We had a deal, didn't we, Murray?
Yeah, but I just figured since, you know, you weren't around to collect, it was off and all.
Well, here I stand. Where is it?
I'm fresh out. Look, Jack...
Tisk, tisk, tisk. Murray, for shame. You know I never really did understand your obsession with these candles, Murray. Until I thought of it like a relationship.
What?
Forgive me. I didn't realize analogies may be above your comprehension. Let me simplify it for you. The flame and candle signify the symbiotic relationship we share. We need each other to cohabitate, to thrive. However, Murray, I find we are now at a crossroads. It would seem our flame has diminished and our candle is all but burnt out.
Ah! Oh, please, just give me till...
Murray, I have many other things to do tonight, so I'll be brief. I'll give you 1 week to secure the item that I need. After that, what I will do to you will make what just has transpired seem like a long shopping excursion at Woolworth's. Ta-ta.
I had just gotten in from a late night, or was it an early morning, of drinking and fraternizing with my hopefully soon-to-be squeeze Veronica, when I received a call from Spinelli. Apparently, Murray the candlemaker had been roughed up pretty badly at his candle shop, badly enough to be taken to the hospital for an indefinite stay. Veronica and I ended our little dalliance, rescheduled for a dinner date later that evening, and I rushed over to the hospital as soon as I could. When I arrived, Spinelli, Spumosa, and Murdoch were waiting in the lobby. Alright, what if... Wait a minute, where's Rogers?
He said something about not wanting to be in the same room with you anymore.
That's fair. Alright, what have we got?
A whole mess of nothing. Murray was beaten pretty thoroughly, but the assailant left no evidence to speak of. No prints, nothing dropped or left that wasn't there to begin with.
How is he?
Pretty bad, Harry. The beating itself that he took was rough, and on top of that, when he fell, there was broken glass and shattered wax everywhere. He suffered a lot of different minor cuts, along with some head trauma.
All right. And how are you, Spumosa?
Oh, I'm peachy. I just learned about the stock market.
Do I want to see this out to the end?
No, you don't.
Well, all right then. Is he, Murray, I mean, good enough to talk to?
I'd assume so.
Good. I'll tell you how it goes.
Wait, Flynn. I need to talk with you.
Murdoch drew me into a long side corridor designed for transporting gurneys from one place in the hospital to the next. He was staring me down in a way that I couldn't place. Either he was sickened at the sight of me and was about to let me have it, or he was dealing with a hell of a lot of inner turmoil right now. I waited for him to speak.
Harry, we need you on the force.
Murdoch, we've already been through this.
I know, and I can't believe I'm offering you this again, but we have to face facts. We're short-staffed at the police department. We hire you for a case every damned week, and you have a good rapport with most of the officers.
A good rapport? What about Rogers?
Like I said, most of the officers. The fact stands, we rely on you a little too much. And without you being an active part of the police force, well, it looks pretty bad on our part. And I'd be lying if I didn't mention it's partially due to funding.
How do you mean?
We just took a massive unit cut. We're trying to keep it off the radar. As far as long-term goes, it'd be cheaper to hire you at a daily rate than to pay your salary per case.
Look, Robert, you're a nice group of folks, but I just don't want to spend my life in a blue suit down in a pit somewhere.
We know. We've bent quite a few rules for you on this one. You won't have to operate out of police headquarters. You won't even have to leave your office. You'd even get to keep doing other cases. You would just become, on paper, an on-staff consulting detective. Look, the only way the deal can get any better is if I were literally bending over backwards to give you it on a silver platter.
Well...
Don't push it. What do you say?
I'll think about it, Murdoch. I swore to myself I'd never become ingrained in that system. Still, in these unsure times, a steady paycheck does sound quite appealing. I decided to reflect on it later, making my way into Murray's room. Whatever beating Murray had taken had made him look twice as ugly as before, which, coincidentally, was quite an achievement. Murray? Murray!
Ah! Huh? Flynn? Is that you? I can't see so good.
Yeah, Murray, it's me. What happened to you?
I...
Take your time.
La 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 la.
Nurse? Nurse?
La 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 la.
Yes?
What's the matter with him?
Well, let me see his chart. Ah, yes. He has a bit of a brain swelling, pushing on the area of his brain that controls music. The doctor says it'll go down in a few weeks.
Oh, good. Thank you, Murray?
Yes, Harry Flynn! Yes, Harry Flynn!
I was wondering if you could tell me who exactly, did this to you.
I would, but he would hurt me more, doo-dah, doo-dah.
Was it some random punk? One of the cartel looking for revenge?
You've hit the nail on the head, Harry!
Were they attempting to settle an old score or something?
B-I-N-G-O, 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 and...
Bingo, was his... Yes, can you tell, sing me some of your old associates' names?
Done the Tooth, Greg the Cop, and a Doctor Vlad, Bobby Toots, Mickey Griggs, and a Carl the Snail.
That's more than enough of that. Thanks.
Da-da-da-da-da.
I left Murray, now fully immersed in a moving version of Vesti La Juba he was singing in order to tell his nurse his bedpan needed changing. I hopped in my car and took off for the police station. When I got there, I made a beeline for the arrested person's file to see if any of Murray's thug names correlated with some of the names in it. Sure enough, they did. I got on the wire with the head guards of the box, the city's high-security prison, and before you could say, gangrene sickness, I was waiting to talk with my first prison inmate.
Prisoners 60102, make it fast.
Hey there, how you doing? Bobby Toots! In for armed robbery, I'm 6 foot!
Let's cut to the chase, shall we? You know Murray?
Which Murray? I know a lot of Murrays. I know Murray Donizetti, Murray the Snook, Whale Hands Murray.
Candle Murray.
Oh, that Murray.
Used to work with him on the black market, correct?
Yeah, what of it?
Did you happen to hear about what just happened to him? And if so, do you know...
Hey, man, I got nothing to tell you.
But do you know why this would be...
Nothing.
Well, if you would just...
Hey, God! Yo, Gado! It's Bobby Toots!
What?
I feel like if I'm in this room with this paisano for one more second, I'm gonna shank him, Bobby Toots!
All right, Bobby, you know the rules. We don't use the S word unless we want to go back into our cell.
Shank!
All right, come here, you little rat.
Listen to me, guy. Don't dig too deep on this one. I'm doing you a favor, Flynn.
How did you know my name?
You remember my name, Bobby Toots!
They took him out of the room, a large grin plastered on his face. Something clearly wasn't right about any of this.
Prisoner 26739!
Hey, it's Bobby Toots again!
Get out of here.
Hey! Oh! Greg Sanducci's the name, but you can call me Greg the Cop.
He's my brother!
Ah, Bobby Toots!
Why Greg the Carp?
Because when you cross me, you end up sleeping with him. No, in actuality, I fell backwards into a bucket of cop swallowing the wharf once.
Fascinating. You know Candle Murray?
Well, I know Candle Murray. Of course I know Candle Murray. We were business partners. Yeah, him and me having a grand old time.
Excuse me for being a skeptic, but I'm not buying it. Who else worked with
you? Oh, listen, buddy, don't go there.
You know something, and I'm not going anywhere until I find out what it is.
Hey, God! Hey, God!
What?
Shank!
Come here.
Wait, would he have anything to do with... Damn it. The only promising lead I had, and he flaked out on me. Why was he so hesitant to say anything? What kind of person did this? And why the hell would they do it to Murray, anyway? This whole situation stinks like... Well, like scented candles and carp.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Old and the New, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Do you like romance? Do you like comedy? Well then, do I have a bargain for you? You can have both romance and comedy in this new package deal! In Love with Humor! That's right, in love with
you! Would you like to buy a scented candle?
What in the world?
How in the name of Lord Jehovah did you get in my booth?
I used the fire exit out back. It was very difficult to find this radio station, I might add.
Well, get out! I'm trying to sell products here, you son of a bewitching devil!
Ah, you sell products. Would you like to help me promote my candles? How much do I pay for a spot on this thing you call radio?
I do not know. I just read off what is being sold.
Sorry. Do you also mind my family sitting in?
Would you like some delicious leftover Thanksgiving ham and eggs? We are not kosher.
They are very appetizing. I might enjoy some too.
Yeah, they're all right, I guess.
Now wait one scampering of a bing bang boom! You can't all be in here, I need my speaking space!
What is this interdimensional realm you speak of?
I think he is commenting on my mashed potatoes.
Really? Did you just say that, Ma?
How dare you speak to my beloved wife in such a crude manner? I might add that she is a very sweet female being.
You stay away. I am going to get out of here and call the authorities.
You did not answer my question. Would you like to help me advertise my candles?
I think he's gone, Dad.
What a remarkably handsome person.
Well, is this thing still recording? I would like to add that I have a new shipment that just came not too long ago.
Oh, yes. They came in when the sun came up. I love you, honey.
I love you, too. The new shipment constitutes of the amazing homey and holiday smells of Santa's got a brand new reindeer. Mrs. Claus churns the butter, Hawaiian Christmas beech twigs, and one from the Hebrew collection, the Radle the Gingerbread Man.
And it is quite the adorable collection for that special someone.
Who likes candles?
I love candles.
Yeah, it's those guys in my booth. I am losing valuable airtime.
I came here all the way from Boston for this.
Listen, I have a Christmas dinner already and I want to head back to it.
Let's get you all out of here.
But I need to tell them about the bargains. Buy one, get one, slightly cheaper.
It is a steal indeed.
Can I just join you guys for dinner in Boston?
Oh yes, son. Boston is the greatest place for a Christmas dinner.
We are now off to Massachusetts.
Phew! Now where was I? What? My spot is already over? Well, I am furious! Damn you, candlemaker of unknown origins! Damn you!
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I had wasted hours, it seems, talking to these crooked criminals, and I haven't gotten anywhere. It was still a mystery who attacked Murray. Who broke into the store? Who destroyed all those wonderful smelling candles? And not that I like scented candles or anything. What struck me as odd was that no one knew anything. Normally, at least one person would have information about what's going on. But everyone was either entirely oblivious to the events that took place, which I highly doubt, given Glenn the Carp's responses, or they were all in on it. That, too, was a realization I found hard to believe. What or who could possibly be able to instill so much fear in these criminals that they would rather not speak and pretend nothing happened? I had a few more leads, but I was running out of ideas. So you don't know anything?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nada.
Not a thing?
I want my lawyer.
This guy was getting me nowhere. I must have interrogated at least 10 inmates, but they were as useful as the last 5 or so. Which to say, they weren't very useful at all. Spinelli was informed of what I was doing and came down an hour ago.
Listen, Harry, you've been at this for hours. It's obviously not getting us anywhere. These guys don't know anything. You should wrap it up for the night. It's getting late.
Late? How late is it?
Well, it's 7:45. Why?
I'd almost forgotten my dinner date with Veronica. I gotta get going. Thanks, Spinelli.
No problem.
I rushed out of there as fast as I could. On the way over, I could tell my mind had jumped tracks completely. Not 5 minutes ago, all I could think about was cracking the case and getting justice for Murray. But now my mind was dead set on getting to the restaurant as fast as I could. I didn't want to keep Veronica waiting.
There you are. I was beginning to worry.
Sorry, Veronica. I've been a little distracted.
Don't worry about it, Harry. I know how dedicated to your work you are. You don't have to explain a thing to me. Let's just focus on dinner.
So what's good here?
Try the chicken Alfredo. It's incredible. Or the chicken Parmesan. Oh, wait. Try the chicken Marsala.
So I take it get something with chicken. I couldn't tell what it was about her. Her face, her hair, her eyes, her personality, something just drew me to her. She was like a siren calling out to me, and her notes fell in all the right places.
Harry? Harry!
Yes?
You're doing it again.
What?
Externally monologuing.
Sorry.
Good evening, my name is Robbie, and I will be your waiter this evening. May I take your orders?
I'm gonna have the, wait, do you know Bobby Toots?
Know him? He's my brother!
So that makes you...
Robbie Toots!
Anyway, let me try your chicken parmesan.
Excellent choice, sir. The chicken parmesan is one of our specialities. And for you, miss?
I'm going to have the 12-ounce filet mignon, medium, tell the cook I like it charred, but still pink, with a side of your specialty scalloped potatoes, hold the scallions, and a side of your asparagus grilled with a light seasoning, don't overdo it.
Will that be all?
I think we're good.
Well, can I interest either of you in a wine this evening? We have an elegant selection of,
We'll have the Merlot 12, please.
Oh, what she said. I take it you've been here a few times.
More than I'll admit. This is probably my favorite restaurant. I just love the environment, the atmosphere. You know, it's nice getting out once in a while.
Agreed. Veronica and I enjoyed our night together. The food was fantastic and the company was even better. Hours flew by like minutes. I couldn't even remember the last time I felt like this. I brought Veronica back to my office upon a request. She wanted to see it. Something about where a man works. I don't know. All I knew is she could ask to go to the moon and I'd try to take her there. Have to work out the pesky gravity business, though. And here we are.
Wow! This is your office.
Yep, we got everything. Folders, phone,
You talk too much.
Veronica turned, looked me straight in the eyes. Again, it was like her siren song that I just could not resist. We moved in closer and closer, and...
Harry, what are you doing here so late and... with her?
Veronica wanted to see my office.
Didn't she already see your office?
Maybe she wanted to see the... I got nothing.
Forgot some paperwork. Just came in quick to pick it up.
You're doing outside work?
Oh, ha-ha. I'd ask about all this, but I'm pretty sure I don't want to know.
I should get going anyway. Harry, thanks for a wonderful evening. Call me?
Absolutely. And sorry about Deborah. She can get cranky this time of night. Well, really any time of night. Or day.
I heard that.
Well, bye.
Bye. I waited until Veronica was out of view before heading back in. By the time I had gotten to the office, Deborah was already done packing her paperwork and getting ready to walk out the door. Good timing, Deborah.
No problem, Harry. Oh, and you got some tomato sauce on your shirt. Where'd you end up taking her anyway?
Mario's, uptown.
Mario's? Isn't that new restaurant that...
Yeah, just opened a month or two ago. I guess it's one of Veronica's favorites.
No, I mean, isn't that the place owned by Giovanni?
What?
Yeah, Mario's is one of Giovanni's little side ventures.
How did you know that?
Spinelli mentioned it about 2 months ago when it opened, remember?
Then vaguely remembered Spinelli mentioning this to Deborah and me.
Hey, Harry, Deborah, this new place Mario's just opened up across town. Giovanni, controls it. Okay, bye.
But I wasn't even concerned. Giovanni Colzione hadn't even been a blip on my radar for months, ever since that Russian versus Italian mafioso ordeal earlier this year. Then it hit me. A new break in the case. Deborah, you're a genius.
Huh?
I gotta go.
What are you talking about?
I'll explain later. See you tomorrow.
You come back here right now and tell me what you're talking about, Harry Flynn. Just keep telling yourself 3 years to Guatemala. 3 years to Guatemala.
I went back to Mario's. I had an idea. These low-level criminals weren't getting me anywhere. They were either dumb or mute or Bobby Toots. That is to say, either they didn't know who did it or they knew and weren't saying. But I knew one person who may know what's going on. Someone who isn't afraid. Enlisting his help may prove a problem. I pulled out a $100 bill to, as one would say, grease the wheels. I pulled up to Mario's. Robbie Toots surprised to see me once again.
Hey, I'm surprised to see you once again. May I help you, sir?
Who are you again?
Robbie Toots!
Yes. I'm looking to speak with the owner.
I'm sorry?
The manager, the guy who runs this place. I believe if you look right here, it says I have a reservation. I put the bill in his hand. He didn't seem especially thrilled, but he made an eye motion to the corner of the room. I don't know if that was a good eye motion or a bad eye motion.
I'm sorry, the owner is out right now. He will not be back until much later.
I can wait. A particularly nasty-looking goon emerged from the shadows and whispered something into Robbie Toots's ear. The host nodded solemnly and pointed me in the thug's direction.
Mr. Flynn?
Yeah?
Mr. Colizione, Mr. Giovanni would like to have a word with you, if you could follow me.
Nervous as I was, I couldn't help but notice what a nice, well-mannered thug this guy turned out to be. I couldn't get over it. But in any case, I started to worry about what I was getting myself into, and more importantly, just what sort of greeting waited for me on the other side of the door. When the thug cracked it open, I saw it was an exact recreation of his old office from the original restaurant. Colazione's, complete with thick cigar smoke.
Mr. Giovanni, Mr. Flynn has arrived.
Name's Mr. Colazione, thank you. Ah, Mr. Flynn, please sit. Would you care for a drink or perhaps something to eat?
I'm fine, thank you.
So what brings you to my fine establishment?
You know, this is a fine establishment. I just brought this one girl. All right, Giovanni, let's just cut to the chase. I need information.
I know.
And I'm not going anywhere until... Excuse me?
I know. I know you've been asking around, trying to figure out who hurt your pal Murray. But you have to understand that there are different levels to this organization. You've been interrogating grunts who don't know a thing about what's going on. They just get their hands dirty and get paid. No, if you really want information, you go to the informants, like Murray. People who are in and out of different circles. Then you have what I like to call the bosses. Men like me who know how this thing operates and what the next move is.
Instantly, Giovanni became a suspect. Why was he telling me all this?
But I understand. I agree. I may have given you that impression, but no. I'm not the guy you're after. Not this time, Harry.
Then who is? Who was it that broke into the candle shop that day? Who was it that put Murray in the hospital?
The man you're looking for is unlike anyone you've ever had dealings with before. He's like a living shadow. He moves from place to place, leaving behind devastation, broken people, and death. He's a man people in my old line of work are afraid of. Boy, this is not my usual speech pattern or phrasing at all.
Yeah, what's up with that, Chuck?
Oh, I didn't write the episode.
What?
Yeah, I lost a bet.
You bet writing privileges?
Well, yeah, maybe I could have bet more money if you paid me well enough.
Oh, I'll pay you.
Hey, it's your money, man. You usually have it now.
Well, if you didn't write it, who did?
I'm watching you, Harry Flynn.
Well, that explains some things. Anyway, are you afraid, Giovanni?
Let's just say I'm taking a risk talking to you today. But you need to know. You need to be warned.
Warned? About what? What are you trying to tell me?
Things are about to change, Flynn. There have been whispers that he's planning something. Something big.
Who?
The man you're looking for never leaves the trail, and his insidious plans are always thought out to the last detail. He's a genius in his own right, as well as insane. Your friend Murray was probably the only person in the city that could have helped you, and with him out of the way, there's no telling what he's planned.
Who, Giovanni?
Jackal. Alistair Jackal.
Meanwhile, back at the prison...
Spinelli, process him.
Yes, sir, right away.
I hate this job.
It doesn't seem that bad. Hello there.
Hello. Hello.
Where's your friend Spinelli?
Veronica? What are you doing here?
Came for a visit.
Spinelli is,
You don't have to fake it with me. I know your story. That fake voice won't work on me.
How did... You shouldn't be up here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break a rule? Wanna arrest me?
Look, you really shouldn't...
But I brought you a coffee, and a man in uniform is so... becoming. Here, I got this for you.
Well...
Take it.
It's good, but tastes different. Tastes funny. Room's spinning. What's going on? I don't... Oh, Martha.
It's about time.
Save it, Caster.
And here's Bobby Toots!
And here.
What do you want me to do with the keys?
Lock him up. And then let the dogs out to play.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn by WRKC. This week's episode, The Old and the New, was written by Lucas Tomasacci, Christopher Gatpo, and Samuel Groom. Our cast today was Brandy George as Officer Spimosa, Guard, and Deborah. Christopher Gatpo as Cop Number 1, Thug, and Commissioner Rogers. Samuel Groom as Jackal, Dr. Vlad, and Creepy Guy. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn and Cop Number 2. Drake Nestor as Murdoch, Bobby Toots, Robbie Toots, Commercial Announcer, Darlene, Waiter, and Caster. And Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Murray, Spinelli, Greg the Carp, Giovanni Colazione, and Writer.
Special guest star Kara Medwick as Veronica. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn, composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasaggi, as performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet, Terrence Karn on accordion, and Luis Obergon on viola, with sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.